Okay. Sefer Sofdin, Perek Dalad, the fourth Perek. We are holding towards the beginning of the Perek. We made some ground last week. So the background here is that B'nai Yisrael has once again sinned, they've gone astray, and Hashem has handed them over to Yavin, now of Canaan. They are oppressed by the Canaanites, and leading Canaan is their general, the famous Sisera, who has 900 iron chariots, a formidable force, and the Jewish people are oppressed. And Devorah is the leader, Devorah is the shofetes. And we left off that Devorah had called Barak, who according to many was her husband, and leaves him with a command, and that's where we'll begin in Pasuk Vav. Vatishlach, and she sent Vatikro Levarak ben Avinoam, and she called to Barak, the son of Avinoam, Kedesh Naphtali, from Kedesh Naphtali, this place. Vatomer Elov, and she said to him, Hallo, Tiva Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Behold, Hashem, the God of Israel, has commanded, Lechu Moshachta Behar Tavor, go and draw together at Har Tavor, Vilakachta Imcha, you should take with you Aseres Alafim Ish, 10,000 men, Mibnei Naphtali, Mibnei Zivun, from the tribe of Naphtali and from the tribe of Zebulun. So just looking at this pasuk a little closer, Hallo Tziva Hashem, Hashem has commanded. What has Hashem commanded? So it seems that you just read on in the pasuk and you see what he commanded. He commanded, Reichu Mashachta Behar Tavor, go and gather for you at Har Tavor. That seems to be the command, the rest of the pasuk. And that's actually how the Malbim understands the pasuk. The Malbim says that that was the tzivoy, to gather all these men at Har Tavor, and it should be 10,000, and you should go. So that, let's look at the next pasuk, which is really part of the command. Umashachta elecha al nachal kishon, umashachti elecha al nachal kishon. I will draw to you by the river of Kishon, as Sisera Sartzva Yavin, Sisera, the commander, the general of Yavin, Vesrichbo, Veshamono, and his chariots, and his force, and Shatiu Biodecha, and I'll place them in your hand. So that was the command, says the Malbim. The command was gather the men together and go to this place, and there Hashem will hand Sisera into your hand. Rashi on Hallel Tziva quotes a Medrash. Rashi says that Hallel Tziva the Yad Moshe. Hashem has commanded to Moshe. What did he command him? Ki acharem tacharimein. That you should destroy the Canaanite nation. That was the command. Here is an opportunity to fulfill that command, so therefore, go and do it. These two opinions will be important for the next pasuk. Discuss for a second, pasuk Zayin. Right, he says, and I will draw to you to the river of Kishon. What does it mean, Umashachti? So again, the Radak tells us that they had to be drawn in. Sisera, there was something that would have kept him away. Now, simply, if some of our should say, he saw a chance to go to war, and the Israelites wanted to fight, okay, great, I outnumber them, I'll go and destroy them. If they're ready to fight, so I'm ready to fight. But the Radak says that it wasn't like that. The Radak says that his own astrologers had predicted a defeat, and it told him don't enter this battle, don't go. But Hashem then came, Umashachti, Hashem, right, this is Hashem's words, and I will draw, and Hashem drew him in anyways, and turned his heart not to listen to go against his advisors and to enter this battle. The Medrash discusses why was this to happen at Har Tabor, and why was it the B'nai Naphtali and the B'nai Zebulun that were selected to accompany Barak to fight and destroy Sisera. So the Medrash says, why Zebulun and Naphtali are of all the Shvatim, that this salvation came through them. So the reason is, Medrash says, Naphtali shimesh es Yaakov Avinu, u'matzah imenu koras ruach. Because Naphtali was mishamesh, he served Yaakov Avinu, and Zebulun shimesh es Yisachar, and Zebulun was mishamesh, he served Yisachar. Both Yaakov represents Torah, Yisachar was the tribe that went and learned Torah, Zebulun supported them. And so these were both tribes that were founded on supporting Torah, and that was the merit of that shimush, of that support, of being there for the learners of Torah. They were rewarded for that. As the Medrash says, who does Hashem save through whom does Hashem save the nations, save Israel from the nations? The people who get up early and stay late in the Beis Knesset and the Beis Medrash, and they're involved in Torah, them and those who support them, those who serve them. So the supporters were Zebulun and Naphtali, those tribes. And who's the one who sits and learns Torah? That was referring to Barak. Because the Medrash tells us that Barak was, he sat by, and he was, in this way, Mishamish is different, he sat by the Zakenim and learned from them. I mentioned last week that this seems to be I mentioned that later in the Medrash there will seem to be a contradiction in what type of person Barak was, because at the beginning of this Tana of Elio, so it talks about how Devorah would send her husband, who was an Amaretz, who was ignorant. She wanted to be mezakeh him, to give him opportunities for mitzvot, and she would have him make wicks for the menorah and send him to the Mishkan in Shiloh to bring the wicks. And the Medrash calls him an Amaretz. Then the Medrash continues and says that her husband was named Barak. And then later the Medrash says that Barak was, in fact, Mishamesh as a Zakenim. He sat with Yoshua and the other Zakenim. So it's not so clear to me exactly where Barak was holding in terms of his knowledge, his status. Fine. So the Pasuk continues, the Navi continues, Pasuk Ches, Vayomer Eleha Barak. And Barak said to him, an astounding response, Imtelchi imi v'halachti, if you go with me, then I'll go. V'imlo selchi imi lo eleich, and if you don't go with me, I'm not going. The Navi tells, right, she's the Naviyah, she's the leader. The leader, Navi tells her to go, and he says, I'm only going if you're going.
How did she get, she got chosen by Hashem to be the leader, right?
It's a good question. We touched on it a little bit last time. She, I mean, it's not clear exactly, but the Medrash says that it was actually a merit for this that I just mentioned, that she would have the wicks made for the menorah,
yeah.
And she made them extra thick to make extra light, and the Medrash says, since you spread my light in the world, so I'm gonna make you famous throughout the Jewish people. But I think there's obviously more to it than just that. But she was a great person. She was, and so she merited that. So we read just last week in last week's parsha says if you appoint a Navi, if a Navi is appointed by Hashem, if a Navi is a true Navi, so the Pasuk says, V'hayaha ish asher lo yishma al dvarai asher yidaber bishmi, and if a person does not listen to the Navi who speaks in my name, anochi edrosh meimo, I will go after him. And the Mepharshim say, and the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, it's talking about Misa Bidei Shamayim. You get death if you don't listen to a Navi. So how could Barak now come with such a response? Navi tells him to do something, he says, I'm not doing it unless, you know, on this certain condition. You do it if the Navi tells you to do it, then you do it. So, right. Right, but let's say she says no. Right. So I guess I think you're right. Still, in the end, let's see the answers, and then it will fit into what you're saying. So the Malbim has to ask this question. The Malbim says that it's not that he didn't want to go. He was happy to go. He didn't feel that he would actually be successful in drawing 10,000 men to follow him. He believed the Navi, right? But he's going to go, he's going to show up, you know, and he's going to come and start darshaning, you know, putting up signs and giving, you know, announcements that everybody, you know, Naphtali, Zvulun, come to me, we're going to fight Sisera, don't worry, Devorah told me that we're assured victory, but he's like, but who's going to believe me? Who's going to listen to me? I need you to come with me and be there when I try to gather the people together to give me some backing.
Yep. It's kind of like falling back into how Moshe kept on saying, I'm not the guy, I'm not the guy, I'm not the guy.
Right, so, okay, interesting. We will find that throughout the Perek and in general, Barak seems to be very humble, maybe even overly humble. And we'll find at times that Devorah is quite the opposite. And Chazal, in a number of different places, they criticize Devorah for being slightly, I don't want to use the word arrogant, I can't really use that word to speak about her, but you know, heading in that direction. We'll see. So yeah, even in this specific instance, we're going to see that Barak was maybe being a little bit too humble. But,
that was the Malbim answer. If the Navi said, go do it, this is what Hashem wants you to do, then where is the room for your own calculations about whether it will be successful, won't be successful? Presumably, if Hashem sent me to do it, it will be successful. And if it won't be, that's not your concern, because you're just following the dictate of the Navi.
Right, that's a good question. Maybe he felt that, you know, okay, that's what we're supposed to do, but you're supposed to come with me. Like, maybe he didn't really mean, like, I refuse, I won't go if you don't go, but we need to do this together. You think Hashem said that I should go and I should go myself. Probably, it might be better if we go together. That may be what Hashem had in mind. And then also, he was saying, that the Malbim goes on, he says, even still, if I have these men, but it won't be my zechus, my merit that allows us to win, I need you to come, because we need your merit to be there with us in order to have victory. Chaim Kanievsky, in Time of the Kra, has a similar approach, but slightly different. And he brings in back to that Rashi, Halotziva Hashem, right? So we just spoke about what was the command. So we mentioned that the Malbim said the command was to gather the men together and go to Har Tavor, and there I'll draw Sisera to you and you'll defeat him. But Rashi says, in the Torah Parshas Bishama, Rashi says the command was, Halotziva Hashem is commanding you, when? To Moshe. This isn't a new nevuah to go and defeat them. Rather, the way Reb Chaim Kanievsky understands it is that Hashem commanded him, Hashem told them about this opportunity. She had a nevuah, Devorah had a prophecy that here's this great opportunity. If you go now to Har Tavor, Hashem will give them into your hand. And since we have that opportunity, so up till now, right, they always had a commandment to destroy the Canaanites. But there hadn't been an opportunity in many years. Now is an opportunity. Hashem is telling me that if you go now, then you'll have a chance to, you'll be able to defeat them. Now, but the command to gather the people together wasn't part of the Nebuah. The command was from Moshe Rabbeinu. The command was, destroy the Canaanites. And here's an opportunity. So I have a nevuah that there's an opportunity now, so take advantage of the opportunity. So he said, fine, but I only have that command if I have the backing of, if it's really an opportunity. And it's only an opportunity if I'm able to bring those people with me. And I'm only going to be able to bring those people with me if you come along with me.
True, Barak.
Barak says, I'll only be able to do it if you, Devorah, come along with me. Because for the same reason, like the Malbim says, because they're not going to just listen to me and show up to this battle without your backing. So that's why that was his wasn't really a refusal, but he was saying, if this is going to work, then I need you to come along with me. Why Har Tabor? Why is this supposed to happen at what's special about Har Tabor? Why is that the place that they're going to defeat Sisera? So, we know a little bit about Har Tabor from a Gemara in Megillah. Relatively famous Gemara. The Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer Akfar Omer, Asidin Bate Knasios Bate Midrasho Shebebabel Sheikavu Be'eretz Yisrael. In the future, all the shuls, all the Bate Midrashos that are in Babel, and really in all of Chutzlaret, are going to get up and move to Eretz Yisrael in the days of Mashiach. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, Ki katavor beharim ukekarmel bayam yavo. That like tavor in the mountains and like Carmel in the sea, they will come. That Har Tabor traveled to the Midbar, or the star, the angel that's in charge of Har Tabor, the Maharsha says, but or either the mountain itself or some administering angel traveled to the Midbar and said, give the Torah on me. And the same with Har Carmel. And Hashem said, you're not the right place, you're too tall, etc., and gave it on Sinai, but they made the effort. Har Tabor wanted the Torah to be given on it. And so the Gemara says, if Tabor and Carmel, they only came for a short time in order to learn Torah and have Torah learned on them. They wanted the Torah to be given on them, but they showed up, you know, just with this request, and still as a reward they were placed in Eretz Yisrael. I guess previously they had not been in Eretz Yisrael, so surely the shuls and the Beis Medrashes, which we learn Torah, when we read the Torah, and we spread Torah in the shuls and the Beis Medrashes, so all the more so that they will end up in Eretz Yisrael. So that's where we might be familiar with the idea of the special, unique quality of Har Tabor and Har Carmel, is that they wanted the Torah to be given on them, but for whatever reasons it didn't work out and it was given on Har Sinai. So if you look ahead a little bit, at the beginning of the fifth parak, the beginning of parak Hay, which is still part of the Haftorah, of Parshas B'Shalach. So in Pasuk Gimel, this is where Devorah begins her song about the victory. Not to give, you know, I don't want to give it away, but there was a victory here. And she begins her song. And in that song she says, Anofi la Hashem, Anofi Ashira. I am to Hashem, I will sing. And she has this word Anofi, Anofi. She says it twice. So Rashi there quotes a Medrash. Why does she say it twice? So says Rashi, I heard a Medrash. That Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't hold back any reward. And so, Har Tabor and Har Carmel, who came to Matan Torah and asked for the Torah to be given on them, so Kadosh Baruch Hu says, in the end I'm going to pay you back double. So therefore, since on Har Sinai Hashem said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God, right, Anochi though, so on Tabor, on you, Mount Tabor, Anochi Anochi will be said twice. And that's how Devorah begins her song, a victory, Anochi Anochi. And Carmel also, by by Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel, the famous story of Eliyahu HaNavi, where he went up against the prophets of Baal and of Ahab and Izebel. So there also it says Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim, twice. So that was Har Tavor receives its reward here, and Har Carmel receives its reward later with Eliyahu. But we see again, just like we said with Naphtali and Zebulun, that they were rewarded for supporting Torah. They were rewarded to be they merited to be the ones through whom this victory would come. So too with the mounting itself, Har Tavor, because Har Tavor wanted to desire to have Torah given on it, to be a Makom Torah, place of Torah. So Har Tavor merited that the defeat of Sisra would come on that mountain. Pasuk Tet. Vatomer. So what Devorah's response, right? Barak says, I'm only going if you're going. Vatomer. And she said, Haloch Eleich Imach, I will surely go with you. Efes Kilosia Sivartacha Aladerech Asherata Holech. But you should just know that your splendor, your honor, you won't be honored on this path, on this way. Kibiyad Isha Yimkar Hashem Es Sisra. Because it will be in the hand of a woman that Hashem sells Sisra. Sisra's defeat will be at the hand of a woman. Vatakam Devorah, and Devorah got up, Vatelech in Barak Kecha, and she went with Barak to Kadesh. Which woman is she referring to?
Herself, right?
So that's one approach. One approach is she's referring to herself, she's the leader. Right, so we're going to read on and we're going to see that Ya'el, this woman that we're going to learn about, Ya'el, is going to be the one who actually kills Sisra.
Oh, right.
So, very good. So it's going to be Ya'el who kills Sisra. So some Mefarshim say it's referring to Ya'el, some say it's referring to Devorah, some say it's referring to both. The Meshech Chachma wants to explain why he uses this word Yimkar. Hashem will sell Sisra into the hands of a woman.
Yeah.
And he quotes the Gemara. The Gemara says that Ya'el, in order to weaken Sisra, she seduced him and had relations with him. But just like with Esther, Queen Esther, all the relations that she had with Ahasuerus that were involuntary did not disqualify her from continuing to live with her husband afterwards. But when she went voluntarily, right, when she had to go to request that he come to the feast, she says, Kasher avadati, avadati, now I am lost to my husband. She became forbidden now because it was voluntary. She became forbidden to her husband. So to Ya'el,
because she created it.
Right, she initiated it.
Did it for the victory.
Yeah, so Ya'el also...
Did she initiate the feat, or did she initiate the actual act?
At this point, this opportunity, she initiated the... I think it was voluntary. Up till then, you know, it was forced, it was ones. At that point, it was voluntary. So to Ya'el here, circumstances may have, you know, forced them into action, but in the action itself, it was their choice to perform this act at this point, to have the relations right then and there, so therefore it's enough to forbid them to their husband. And so Ya'el also, she sold her ability to be with her husband, and in order to defeat Sisra. He was sold into her hand. Yes.
Okay. Did she return back to her husband?
No.
Once she did that, that was the end.
Her husband was a king, and that may be what you're saying. Her husband was a king, but that's also, I think, some status of...
Did she return back to her husband, Ya'el?
No, she can't.
She couldn't.
She was
she
forbidden.
Couldn't, right? That was it. Done.
Okay. Just wondering, like, I mean, sort of, I don't know if we know the exact halachas or context or whatever, but it sounds kind of radical to, like, in order to defeat, I mean, it seems like for a good cause, right. But to do an Avera, I mean, I don't know, is it, because it's with a non-Jew, is it considered, like, ish, or I don't know exactly how that works, but there's some sort of, you know, forbidden relations to conquer, like, a conqueror, I mean, you would assume, right. Especially, like, you know, there would be some other halakhically permissible way for this to happen.
Right.
Maybe.
Okay, it's a good question. Maybe when we get there, we'll discuss it more, but I know that it's referred to by someone. I saw someone refer to either the Gemara or maybe it's one of the Farshim as an Avera Lishma, which usually, you know, is not really permitted, but, yeah.
Have you heard of that? What's that
from? I have to look where I saw it. I think even the Meshech Chachma might use that term. Again, I don't know. We find Avera Lishma in other contexts where it's not really permitted, but we find it, I think, by the daughters of Lot that they did it. They thought the world was, you know, that there was nobody. They saw the destruction of Sodom. They thought there was nothing left, and so they got their father drunk, and they had relations with him, and they had children from him. They did it with Shema, because they thought, you know, they had to continue the world, that was the end of the world. But
there was no other choice.
But you're not allowed to do that still. It turned out that, you know, that they were wrong anyways. We're going to figure out with Shema, but we find that at least one of them was still rewarded. The one who
with
named
Ruth? Was it with Ruth?
I think so. The one
an ancestor.
Well, Ruth came from Moab, so that's the one that we don't like. Me'ab was the one who was too explicit about it.
Important figure, I know that. I just don't remember who it was. But yeah. How about Elle also? I mean, basically, she was rewarded for her. She was rewarded also. Yeah.
Okay, Pasuk Yod. Vayazik Barak es Zevulun Ves Naphtali Ketcha. And Barak mustered, gathered together Zevulun and Naphtali to Kedesh. Vayal Beragov Aseret Alfei. And at his feet, behind him, traveled 10,000 men. Vata'al imo Devorah, and Devorah went up with him. Vayal Beragov, simply understood this means with him. The Malbim tells us, the Malbim says that if you can understand the Kipshuto, just take the words, the simple meaning of the words, Beragov, on his feet, that they were all on foot. They were going up against 900 iron chariots, tanks, and they were all on foot.
I mean, obviously, on the part of Paradox, it says, I think I'm not going to blow on that. Right? It's not just referring to
the gathering.
It's referring to those tribes, right?
Yeah. You're saying before it said 10,000 men from Naphtali and Zebulun. Now it says he gathered the Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, and he went with 10,000 men. Right. The question is, it's a little, why does it split it up that way?
Yeah, maybe that's like, okay.
Right. I hear it. I don't have an explanation, but I hear the point. Ara. Yod Aleph. The Chaver Hakeini Nifrod Mikayim.
I gotta get going. My wife is done. All right. See you next week.
See you next week.
Okay. Thank you. Later.
The Chever Hakeini Nifrod Mikayin, and Chever Hakeini had separated from the other Canaanites, not Canaanites, the Canaanites, the descendants of Yisro, the Chovav Chosen Yisro from the Chosen Moshe, from the children of Chovav Yisro, the father-in-law of Moshe. Vayet Ahalo Ad Elon Bitzamim Aser Es Kedesh. And he set his tent near this place, Elon Bitzamim, which was near Kedesh.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit of a, kind of scurrying here is this pasuk about Kaini, about Hever HaKaini. And we'll see the next pasuk, you know, it just goes on and starts talking about Sisera and goes back to talking about the battle. And so this pasuk seems a little bit out of place, but there's a good reason why this pasuk is placed here, because we're really setting the stage for Sisera to flee to Yael's house, because this is Yael's husband, Hever, and the pasuk is coming to tell us why he was there, that it wasn't really normal for him to be there. The rest of his people, the descendants of Yisrael, Kaini, they lived in Midbar Yehuda, and again it was a hashkacha that Hashem arranged that this certain guy Hever HaKaini would leave his people and he would move and settle in the near Kadesh. And that way they would be in the, you know, perfect place along the road for when Sisera runs away, that he will stumble into Yael's tent. Because this is Yael's husband, this is Yael's tent. Right. I don't know how, it doesn't say how long before, but he was already settled there. Vayagidu leSisera. And they told Sisera, "Ki Alva Baruch ben Avinoam Har Tavor," that Baruch ben Avinoam had gone up to Har Tavor. Pasuk Yigimel, Vayazik Sisera Kol Richbo, and Sisera mustered up all his chariots, Tishameos Rechav Barzel, 900 iron chariots, that Kol Ha'am Asher Ito, and the entire nation that was with him, Mecharosh Tagoyim Al Nachal Kishon. They went from Harosh HaTagoyim, the city where they lived, Al-Nachal Kishon, all the way to the river of Kishon. Again, so Sisera is placing him, he's taking the bait, and he's going after, you know, he hears Barak is there, ready to do battle. So again, in order to fulfill the Nevuah, he's gathered his people. And the Malbim points out that really, right, 10,000 men, you know, you don't need necessarily such an enormous army to defeat. You know, again, it doesn't say exactly, you know, how big the army was that he brought, but it's Kol Rifo. His entire, all his chariots, Shamil Shrecha Barzel, that's Kol Ha'am Asher Ito, all the people that he had with him, he brought out his entire force. Malbim says that was part of the Ashkacha. He didn't need so many people. He could have left half his army back at home, and only half the army would have been defeated, or I mean whatever percentage, I'm making up the percentages, but he... You're saying, because you're assuming that if you just defeat Sisera, then they'll be defeated.
You're saying that
he brought everyone, and then they were, exactly.
Right. But I'm saying, like, I don't think, like, at the time, they're like, yeah.
No, but afterwards,
right.
But I'm sure afterwards they would have been happy that everyone
right.
showed up.
Right, have a bigger peace, right.
Yeah. Pasuk Yod Dalid, Batomer Devora Barak, and Devora said to Barak, "Kum, get up. Today Ayom, because today is the day Asher Nasan Hashem is Sisera Biyodecha, that Hashem has given Sisera into your hands. Hello Hashem Yatza Lefanecha, Hashem has gone out in front of you to fight for you. Ayered Barak Mihar Tavor, and Barak descended from Har Tavor, Vaseres Alafim Ish Acharav." And 10,000 men after him. He was telling him, "Now is the time. You have to go. You can't wait any longer." Now, Devora here is written Chaser, right? Everywhere else, except for in two places, Devora is written with a vav, Dalet Beis Vav Reish Hey. In this pasuk, Devora is written. Devorah is written Chasser without the Vav. So Chaim Kanievsky points this out, and he wants to explain it based on a Medrash. The Medrash says, it's actually in Bereshit, the Bereshit Rabbah. The Medrash in Bereshit. The Medrash says that there were two people who Hayu Iker Shnei Bnei Adam Hayu Iker V'Asu Atman Tafel. There were two people who were Iker, were really supposed to be primary, and made themselves secondary, and therefore they became Tafel, they became secondary. And one of them is Barak, the other is Avram. But they quote, because it says by Barak that he said, go and gather the people. And Barak said, I don't want to do this myself. Like we said, he said, until Chiyini, if you go with me, then I'll do it. But if not, then I'm not going to go. So he wasn't willing to take the leadership on his own. And so therefore, like she said, she told him, you're not going to get credit for this great victory. It's going to be Biad Isha. It's going to be at the hands of a woman. You're not going to get the credit. And so Barak is Tafel throughout. And so therefore, in order to show that Devorah's Iker throughout, that she's the main person here, so in all the places her name is written with the Vav, Devorah is written Malek. But over here, in this Pasuk, Vatomer Devorah, Devorah is written Chaser, without a Vav. And that's because when it comes to the actual battle, this is where we're talking about the actual battle, so she's going to stay on the sideline. In terms of the command and the, you know, and the strategies and gathering the people and all that, so she was the main event. She was the primary player. But when it came to the battle itself, so then even though Barak had previously made himself secondary, but here Barak was now the primary leader in the battle itself, and therefore, once again, Devorah is written Chaser to show that, you know, she's sort of taking a second role here, a backseat role.
Do you think that Barak was supposed to, was meaning like he had the ability to take on the entire thing himself, and he was not necessarily sinning, but like not necessarily doing the optimum, but doing it all himself?
So that's what this Medrash implies. The Medrash implies that he should have just stepped, if he was told to do it, he should have stepped up and not, and I think the Medrash is assuming that because he could have. He really was capable. He could have gathered the people, they would have followed him, but he was kind of too humble. One of the Mefarshim on the Medrash, the Yafet Toar, one of the Mefarshim in the Medrash Rabbah, says that this is an open rebuke to people not to lower yourself too much. It's good to be humble, but it's very important to be humble. Obviously, we shouldn't be arrogant or haughty, but we also shouldn't make ourselves too lowly. You have to have a little bit of confidence, a little bit of, a shminish of a shminish, the Gemara says. An eighth of an eighth of a little bit, a little bit of gaiva that's really what's expected from a person.
Mm-hmm. Like on a service level, you would think if he's asking for just her to come along to help, like what's wrong with that? Meaning that like maybe they'll listen to her more than they'll listen to him for whatever reason.
Right.
And so like, to me it's a little bit strange that like that's something wrong. Like to have added sort of, but I guess maybe it's an Emunah thing. Maybe he should have had more faith that they would listen to him and not have to recruit like other people. I don't see the harm in just asking for somebody else to help.
Right. Again, I think it's because the command was coming from the Navi, coming from the leader.
And he should have just.
And you sort of, if she trusted in him, if Hashem trusted in him, then he should have accepted that role. And again, you see again that, Barak has this humility, and we're going to see that Devorah in many ways is the opposite. She's very, very confident, and in a number of places, Chazal, there's one Chazal that I have to look at it again exactly, but it says something like, she was called Devora, which means a bee, because she was so, again, I don't want you to be arrogant, but she was so confident, so she got this name, or she had this name of a bee, which is like a just an insect, so like sort of, offset that. Again, I don't know, I didn't really understand the
thing.
Right.
So, fiery woman.
Right.
The text calls her a fiery woman. I know, my wife's name is Devora.
So we will, we will get that, next week we'll pick up and learn about the actual battle itself.
All right. Done.